We're going to hear on Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph by the new Perek. The Mishnah begins, HaMapelet Chaticha, a woman who discharges an object, Im Yeshim Adam, Dam, if it has with it blood, Tmeah, Bimlav, if not, Tehura. Over here, when we're speaking about Tmeah and Torah, we're talking about Nida. Because the Chaticha, you have two choices about what assume that this Chaticha is. Either it's an unformed fetus or a piece of basar that is not qualified to make it into a leida. Or the other possibility is that it's coagulated blood. So you have to choose between one of those two things of what she's discharging at this point in time. So here the Tana Kama says that the chaticha that comes out itself is irrelevant. But if it has dam with it, then the chaticha becomes relevant because of the dam that's with it, not because of the chaticha itself. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ben kach or ben kach tmeah. Either way, she is tmeah. Meaning that Rabbi Yehuda thinks the chaticha is coagulated blood, and therefore the discharge over here is clearly a discharge of nida. Whether it has dam on it or whether it does not have dam on it, it's a discharge of nida. We saw this Gemara, we had a quote earlier. We saw this Gemara back on Yudchet. Now the Mishnah moves on. Belet kemin klipa, kemin tsara, kemin afar, kemin ivchushim adumim, tatil lemayim. So if she discharges objects that look like this, one is a klipa, it's a thin film, a skin of some sort, kamin sara, like a hair, kamin afar, like dust, kamin chushim adumim, red, mosquito-like creatures, tatil lemayim, then you dump it into the water, if it dissolves in the water, then it's tmeah, v'imlav, if it does not dissolve in the water, then it's teora. Again, over here, we're saying Tmeah and Torah, we're talking about Dinei Nida. Then, Amapelet Kamin Dagim, Chagavim, Shkatzim, Virimasim. She discharges something that looks like a fish, a locust, some creepy and crawly things. Im Yeshimem Dam Tmeah. If there's Dam along with it, then it's Tmeah. Vimlav Torah. If not, she is Torah. So up till this point in the Mishnah, all the discharges are clearly not called Leidot, because they have nothing that resembles what would be a fetus or a leida. And therefore, the only question is, do they qualify to be dam nida or not to be dam nida? And in the last two instances, the first test was to test it in water and see if it dissolves. The second here, again, is the same requirement that there be dam alongside with it. Now we move into objects that are discharged that might be qualified to be leidot, which is a mepelet min behema chaya va'of. She discharges, miscarries, something that looks like an animal or a fowl. Ben tmeim, ben torim, whether they're kosher animals, non-kosher animals. Im zachar, if it's a male, teshev lezachar. Vim nekeva, teshev lenekeva. If it's a female, then she has to keep the days in nekeva. What we're assuming here is that you have a full-fledged birth on your hands. Vim yadua, she does not know which one it is, what the gender of that which was discharged. The position of Rabbi Meir, that anybody who's mapelet these objects, which the Gemara will get to, I'm not going to get to today, we'll get it in the, further on in the Gemara, that these objects already qualify to be fetuses. We've seen this in other Masechtot as well, because they have Yitzur, they have creation associated with them, and therefore they qualify to be considered fetuses, and therefore whatever she has or discharges here is considered to be a Leida. That Leida requires her to sit for the Tumah and Tahara of a Leida. Again, if she knows if it's male or female, she can be Yoshevet for the Zachar 40 days, and for the Nekeva 80 days. If she doesn't know what it is, then she does 14 days of a Nekeva of Tumah, the Chumrah, and then she does the remaining 26 days of Tahara, the Chumrah, for a Zachar. It resembles. Whatever is discharged resembles this object. They're not alive. It's clear that they're not alive. Chamim or Mim Koshein Bo Mitzurat Adam in Ovlad. Chamim make a definitive statement, which is, it's got to look like a human being. It's got a tzurav of vlad. The fetus has some form to it, a human form to it. Then it's considered to be a leida. Without a human form to it, you don't have a din of leida whatsoever. So now the Gemara is going to go back to what we actually saw back on Daf Yud Ched as well, which is trying to, with the modification of this Mishnah, which is Amar Rav Yehuda Mashmol, Lo timei Rav Yehuda, elo b'chaticha shel arbat minei damim. Rav Yehuda was only mitamei when you have this discharge of a solid object, and he says that this woman is now tamei tumat nida. That's only true if the object looks like one of the four colors that are problematic in terms of damim. Because he thinks this is coagulated blood. So if it's coagulated blood, then it has to qualify to be blood that would cause her to be a nida. So one of the four colors that's problematic in terms of dam nida has to be the color that you're associating with this chaticha.
Tanakama would agree with that?
No, because the Tanakama thinks that the discharge is not dam nida.
Yeah, because
that dam will have to be that color. But the chaticha, here we're talking about the chaticha itself. Aval shosharmine damim Torah. If it's other colors, so the blood will be Torah. That's Shmuel's position. Now, Rabbi Yochanan has a position similar to what you were suggesting, David, which is Amar Shel Arbat Minei Damim Divrei Hakol Tmeya. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, everybody agrees that this discharge is Dam Nida, it's coagulated blood. Therefore, if it has one of the four colors that's problematic, even the Tanakhama will say that it is an indication of Dam Nida. Shosha Minei Damim Divrei Hakol Torah. And everybody agrees that if it's not one of the four colors, then she is Teora. Lo nechlaku, so where's the machlok between them? Ela she pila, veni odat ma she pila. She discharged a solid object, and she has no idea what she discharged. She does not know the coloration of the object that she discharged. In that case, Rabbi Yehuda has savar zil bata rov chatichot. Go after the majority of discharges. Rov chatichot shel arbat minei damim havyan. And the majority of these types of discharges have the coloration of the four colors of dam that are problematic for nida. That robe does not dictate over here, and since we don't know what it is, we assume that it is not problematic. That's the answer. Rabbi Yochanan says, if we know what it is, we can see it, then we don't have a problem. Problem here is that can't see it. So then what governs when you don't see it? Rabbi Yehuda says, we'll go after robe chatichot. It seems to be that the Chachamim disagree with either, it can be one of two ways. They either disagree with that there's such a robe, that robe chatichot have that coloration, meaning that's a machloka de mitziyut, or the other one is that the robe doesn't dictate over here. This is not a place where the robe dictates because you have against that robe the chazaka of the isha. You have the chazaka of the isha that she is teora, and therefore you have a mix between a robe that's kalush, a weak robe over here, versus a chazaka of the isha. And that's exactly what Tosfot says over here about this robe, which is tema. V'neim ava palko palko. Okay, the Chachamim don't subscribe to the robe. Let's just say it's a 50-50 shot. 50% shot that it was damim that are problematic, 50% shot that damim that are okay. V'hei v'adai tamei b'rshuti yochid, avagav dika cheskat tara. V'esh lomar darminin le'el, da'afilu Rabbi Yehuda lo havi robe gamur. Even Rabbi Yehuda, it's not a robe gamur, v'ein sofim alavet ha'chumah. That's what we said, Rabbi Yochanan. Remember, Rabbi Yochanan told us about three times that robe is givadai. That came to exclude Rabbi Yehuda's robe. This is Rabbi Yehuda's robe that he came to exclude. So this robe that he comes to exclude means that even Rabbi Yehuda says it's robe and not robe kivadai. That means that when the Chachamim disagree, they can't be saying it's pagol pagol, they think it's even less. Rabbanan afilu pagol pagol lo'avi. V'adarabah robe chatichot lam shel damim inei damim heim. Tosfot puts both of them together. He says, number one, the robe here isn't so strong. Number two is, they don't even think that there's a robe here. You could have argued that the Chachamim think there is a robe, but it's such a weak robe that the chazakah overcomes the robe. That's what gives you both. He says, not only is it a weak robe to start with, because even Rabbi Yehuda thinks it's a weak robe, but on top of that, the Chachamim think the mitziyut is that there is no robe here whatsoever. So that's why the Chachamim are mitaher over here. Now we're going to bring a braita that's going to present us with a problem. Ini, is it really true? Va'akiyata Rav Hoshea min Narda. Rav Hoshea came from Narda. Atavaita might need to be a day. He brought with himself a braita that now becomes problematic for Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan. I'm a pellet, chaticha, aduma, shchora, yiruka, ulivana. A woman who discharges some sort of object that is red, black, yellow, or white. Im yeshima dam tmeya. If it has blood with it, tmeya. Vim lav, teora. If not, it's fine. Rabbi Yehuda omer, ben kach, u ben kach, tmeya. Either way, it is tmeya. So now, kasha l'shmuel b'chado. It's going to be a problem with Shmuel on one front. Ula Rabbi Yochanan betarte. It's going to be a problem for Rabbi Yochanan on two fronts. So now, Rabbi Shmuel, the Gemara is going to go through this in a second, I'm just going to preview it for you. But what's the problem for Shmuel? Shmuel said that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that the chaticha is problematic is only when it's one of the four colors that make dam tamei otherwise. What are those four colors? We know they're not white and not yellow. So those aren't one of those colors. Yet in the bright here you have white and yellow where Rabbi Yehuda is saying Tmeya. So that's number one problem for Shmuel. Rabbi Yochanan will have that same problem. Plus in addition to that, he'll have the problem with the Rabbanan. Because Rabbi Yochanan said that according to the Rabbanan, they agree. When you have one of the four colors of Damim, that chaticha is Tmeya. In the Braita it says, Shchora and Aduma, Those two colors, the Rabbanan say, are no problem unless dam ima. That goes against Rabbi Yochanan's position. The Rabbanan agreed to review this position when it's one of those four colored damim. So you see, these are the problems in the Braita. So these are the pre-arguments of Shmuel. Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara is going to lay that out. I'm just giving you the overview of how that's going to work. So now, Lishmuel b'chada damer Shmuel lo timei Rabbi Yehuda ele b'chaticha shel arbat minei damim. He was only mitamei when the chaticha had coloration like one of those four damim. V'ha'akani yiruka ulevana. In the Braita it says yellow and white. Upolig Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda argues, if you want to say that he only argues on the red and the black, but when it comes to the yellow and the white, well, who do you write it for? Then what's the purpose of mentioning it in the Braita? If you want to say it's a position or a bonon, hashta duma ushchora mitare. Over there, when it comes to red and black, they say it's tahor. Those are colors that everybody agrees if you saw them in damim, that they would be tmeim. Then certainly by colors like yellow and white, which aren't tmeim by dam, certainly by the chaticha, there's no question. Rabbanan, you call the vanami ba'ye? You're gonna have to ask that question. El alav Rabbi Yehuda. It's gotta be that the reason they wrote it in the Braita is for Rabbi Yehuda's position. Upolig. And you see that he argues, meaning even on colors that are not colors that are otherwise problematic when you had discharge of damim, of regular blood. Here by a chaticha, that's not the qualification. Vitu. In addition to that, Rabbi Yochanan darbar, shalabat minei damim, divrei akol tmeya, haktani. You see in the Braita it says, aduma ushchora, as aduma, as red ushchora and black, which are colors of damim that would be tmeim, upligei rabbanon, and nevertheless the rabbanon argue in that instance. Right now, the remainder of the Gemara goes through something similar to what we did before. Tosafot over here thinks that, based on the Rach, that this should not be in the Gemara, because he says it's obvious. This is not the derech of the Gemara to ask the question which has an obvious answer in the Braita, which is clearly not the way to read it. I read it because it's in our Gemara, but just know that Tosafot says that he doesn't think it's necessary. V'chi teima, ki pligi rabbanan ayiruka ulevana. Rabbanan argue on yellow and white. Aval ala duma ushchora lo. But when it comes to red and black, they would not argue. Ela duma uchchora laman ktonila. Why did you write red and black in the Braita? Ilema Rabbi Yehuda. If you say it's Rabbi Yehuda, ashta yiruka ulevana tmeya. Over there where he says yellow and white already are tmeya, which aren't colors that otherwise you would say are problematic by damim. Aduma uchchora mibayi. That you need to ask. Ela rabbanon upligi. It must be the rabbanon upligi. Tosafot's issues with this is that the Braita says explicitly that the way the Gemara is breaking it down is not something that necessarily the Gemara follows that type of logic, which is the Braita says aduma shchora yiruka and levana. It says it straight out all the colors. He doesn't say the Gemara is not to parse it in that way. It doesn't make so much sense. All right, we read it. We're able to read it. You can fit it in, but in the end, what you have is you have one problem for Shmuel's position. And two problems for Rabbi Yochanan's position when it comes to this Braita. Hello, now we need an alternative to explain the Machloket in our Mishnah. We thought until now that the Machloket in the Mishnah was either about Achaticha, meaning Achaticha is either indication of Damim, coagulated blood, or it's nothing. It's easy to explain the Mishnah that way. If you say it's nothing, then only when there's Damim accompanied with it do you have a problem of Nida. If you think it's coagulated blood, then the color matters. I mean, it has to be the color of the blood that otherwise would be problematic. So that's how we would explain the Mishnah. But this Braita now undermines all of that. Because first of all, the Chachamim are mitaher even when you have colors that are black and red. So it's clear they think it's nothing. But then Rabbi Yehuda is mitameh even when you have a yellow and white. So then how do we explain Rabbi Yehuda's position at this point in time? It's not chatichat basar, clearly, but it's also not dam nida that is coagulated because you're allowing colors or you're saying there's a problem with colors that otherwise by damim would not be problematic. So what do you do here? Exactly what David asked in the Mishnah. This is the question that they're addressing now. Can you have the uterus open without there being a discharge of blood? Meaning, can the cervix dilate and then there still not be blood that exits the uterus? Right? This has modern implications because when women go in for, whether it's internal examinations or for things like pap smears, if they go, or something enters into the uterus, this question arises. Can you have any penetration through the cervix without there being a sighting of damim? And if you believe that there cannot be such a possibility, that means even if you don't see damim, the woman is automatically tmeya nida. So there's implications today in terms of medical procedures. So here we go. El Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Be'efshot Tichar Ekev V'Log Dam Kamitzlagi. Uplukta Da'ani Tanai. And they argue in this, Machloga Tanaim, Tanya, Kshishta Tashnaim, Ushlishi Pila, Ve'en Yodat Mahi Pila. So here you have a woman who is in her 11 days of Ziba. For 2 days, she's seeing flows of blood for 2 days in a row. We know that means that first day, Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. Second day, Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. Third day, if she sees damim on the third day, then she becomes a zavad gdola, and she needs shiva nikiim. But she also was ipila. She also had a discharge of some sort of miscarriage on that third day. But we're not sure what was discharged. See, that means it's not around anymore. We don't know what it is. So therefore, what does this woman do? So it's a machloket tanaim. Hare zu safek leida, safek ziva. Mevi korban, veinu neachal. There actually, the Gemara only mentions two sfeikot, but there are really three sfeikot over here. One safek is that safek leida, that she gave birth. If she gave birth, then she has to bring a korban leida. Korban leida is an olah and a chatat. Possibility number two is that she's a zavag dola. She really, the third day, the discharge was damim again, and therefore she is 3 days in a row of seeing damim during her yemei ziva, that makes her into a zavag dola. She needs shiva nekimim, and then she has to bring a korban, Ola and Chatat. So if that's the case, if that was the only safek, then she would bring the korban and ne'achal and would be eaten. Because it's either a leida or a ziva. So that's why it's clear from here that there's a third possibility. The third possibility is it's neither. The third day when she had the discharge, it was neither a leida nor a damim. And that means that she's not a lioledet and she's not a zavag dola. In that possibility, she's not chayevet a korban at all. There, she just says, Mishomeret Yom Keneged Yom, and she's done. Therefore, you have a safek of one of those three possibilities over here. Zavag Gdola, Leida, nothing. Those three possibilities land us a position where she brings the korbanot, Al Yudei Safek, and we mentioned this before, that a chatat of a bird can be brought Al Yudei Safek, but may not be eaten. And that's exactly what the Tanakhama here says. She may via korban, the olah goes on the mizbeach, the chatat, they sprinkle the damim, and then it's left to be ibud surah and then taken out to be sreifa, and the kohenim do not eat the chatat. Rabbi Shua Omer, Rabbi Shua argues, mevia korban v'ne'echal. She brings a korban and it's eaten. Period. That means that he thinks that we have a vadai here. What's the vadai? She afshar leptichat kever below dam. Because it's impossible that she had a discharge from the uterus without there being damim. So if that's impossible, then mimon afshach. Here you had either a leida or a zavagdola. It's impossible that it wasn't one of those two items. The third possibility, which the Tanakhama entertains, which is that it's neither, he can't entertain because he says something discharged from the uterus, something discharged from the uterus. Even if that is not damim, some dam had to come out because there was a ptichat hakever. So that's the machloket here that we're saying is the same as the machloket in our Mishnah. Machloket in our Mishnah, the Tanakhama believes you can have a discharge without ptichat hakever. Therefore, in order to be a nida, you have to see damim on the chaticha. Damim is an indication of nida, not the chaticha. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda believes, ein ptichat kever below damim. So even if the chaticha comes out dry, and it's not damim, the chaticha itself is not damim, nevertheless, the kever opened, that means there was damim. That's it. Period. That doesn't mean that it doesn't matter what color the chaticha is, because the chaticha is not coagulated blood. Even if it's not coagulated blood, the fact that it was discharged from the uterus means there was damim. And it's an indication of damim, and that's why she is tmeya. Lishnach, we know. They have an alternative lashon here, going back to all the way back to the beginning of the Gemara now. The alternative lashon goes back to the original statement of Shmuel. Lishnach, we know. Lo, ama Rabbi Yehuda meshmuel, lo timei Rabbi Yehuda ela b'chaticha shalabat minei damim. The same statement that we had from Shmuel before, that Rabbi Yehuda is only mitamei when it comes to the four colors that are discharged, meaning that Yehuda thinks that it's coagulated blood that's being discharged over here. Therefore, if it's other colors, then she is Torah. Ini, can you really say that? Then he bring a brighter with him, so we're asking directly on Shmuel from the brighter now, which is, so a woman discharges a object that is red, black, yellow, white, Im yeshima dam tmeya. If it has with it blood, tmeya v'im la Torah. Rabbi Yehuda omer, ben kach, u ben kach tmeya. So that goes directly against the position of Shmuel. Tani aduma, shchora, yiruka, ulevana, upolig Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda argues, v'chitem aki polig Rabbi Yehuda aduma ushchora, aval yiruka ulevana lo. He doesn't argue there. Ela yiruka ulevana, man ketani la, or the man ketani la. Who do we write it for? Ilem el rabbanon, it's for the rabbanon ashra aduma ushchora, kamitare. Even if it's a color of damim, that would be problematic there, mitahir, because they think this is not coagulated blood. Rabbanan yiruka ulevana miboi. What do you need those colors for? It's certain that the Rabbanan would not be mitame there. Elalav, Rabbi Yehuda upolig. So that is clear that Rabbi Yehuda argues in that case. Ela amar. So far, nothing is different except now. Ela amar Rabbi Yochanan. Behafshal p'tichat kever below damka miflige. Here's the difference. So Shmuel has the same opinion. We bring the same Braita as a problem to Shmuel, but instead of Rabbi Yochanan having a position that is undermined by the Braita, Rabbi Yochanan now is offering the alternative instead of Rav Nachman by Yitzchak. Rabbi Yochanan now offers the alternative, which is Be'efshal p'tichat kever v'lo dam kamif legei plukte dahani tonight. And it's the same as the machloket we saw with his other Tanaim, Detanya kishata shnayim ulish lishihi pila. The Braita we read before, she had difficulty flowing of blood for 2 days. On the third day, she discharges some object. Ve'inu dat ma'i pila. She has no idea what came out. Ha'izu safek leida, safek ziva, plus safek nothing. Therefore, me'viya karban ve'inu ne'achal. According to the Tanakhama, Rabbi Shua Meir, me'viya karban ve'ne'achal. If she efshar l'ptichat gever below dam. All they did was shortcutted. This version leaves out the position of Rabbi Yochanan from the previous version. And here, instead of Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak bringing that the machloket is about p'tichat hakever, Rabbi Yochanan is now the author of that position. Now, moving on. Tan Rabbanan. Hamapelet chaticha. A woman who discharges some sort of solid object. Sumchus omer mishum Rabbi Meir. V'chein haya Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh omer kidvarav. Kora. You break it open. Im yesh dam betocha tmeya. If there's blood embedded in this object, then she is tmeya. V'im lav. If there's no blood inside, then she is Torah. So now the Gemara says, ki Rabbanan. This position of Sumchus is similar to that of the Rabbanan, but different from the Rabbanan, more chamur than the Rabbanan. Ki Rabbanan, the Amrei Efshar, the P'tichat Kever below Dam. It's like the Rabbanan because you have a possibility of a discharge without seeing Damim. You could have this come out of the uterus and yet not have any Damim. But different from the Rabbanan, is more chamur than the Rabbanan, Dinu Savrei Ima in B'tuchalo. The Rabbanan only say that when there's blood on the object, Ishit Me'an Neda. But if the blood is inside the object, they don't think so. Sumcha Savar, Afilu B'tucha. Even if you open it up and you see blood inside, that's enough to be designated as a nida. Betanya idach. We have another braita, mapelet chaticha, woman who discharges an object, of achomer kura, open it up, im tocha ma'adim et tmeya. If the inside is red, then she's tmeya. Bim lav, Torah, if not, she's Torah. So he is kesumchus, va'adivim sumchus. He holds like sumchus, plus he's more machmer than sumchus. He holds like Sumchus that something internally to the Chaticha is relevant. But he's even more machmir than Sumchus. So Sumchus says you need a liquid on the inside. You need damim on the inside. He says even if it's a solid red on the inside, that's still enough to make her tmeya.
Or he said if there's dam,
okay, I hear you. I think that when he says here that it's red, because red is the key color, I don't think he's saying red to the exclusion of other colors. I think red means anything that would have been a color of damim that would be problematic. I think that's how you have to read it. Tani yidach, amapelet chaticha. Another braita, woman discharges a chaticha. Rabbi Binyamin Omer Korah, you rip it open. Im yesh ba etzem, if there's a bone inside, imot me'a leida. Then she is t'me'a leida. So now, let's just think. We have these three different opinions that were brought. Sumchus, Rav Acha, and then we had Rabbi Binyamin. So in the first two cases, it's clear that they believe what's being discharged over here is something to do with Dam Nida and Tmeya. When you shift over to Rabbi Binyamin already, he's clear that he doesn't think that this is coagulated blood or anything to do with Nida. He thinks that it's a miscarriage of some sort. And therefore, if it has any form that is like of a human form, then it becomes an issue of Leida, not an issue of Nida. Then Amar Rav Chista, ubichaticha levana. It's only true if this discharge is white. I mean, it has to have a resemblance to a fetus, which is the whiteness of the skin. So if it has any other color in it, then it's clearly not a discharge of a fetus. V'chein, ki'ata, here's a machloket about the girsa. Rashi's girsa says, ki'ata zuga, demin chadayav. Rashi says, means a pair of Talmidei Chachamim that came from chadayav. Tosafot, and here you see in the Ein Mishpat, he brings from the Oroch as well, it says the word is Zuza, and that's the name of a Chacham. It says, V'chiyat Zuza demin Chadayav, Zuza from Chadayav came, and the problem for Rashi is the next part of the Gemara, which is, Ato v'ayti matnita biyadei. He came, and he brought with him a braita written in the singular form. So according to Rashi, it should have written, Atu, Aitu biyadayhu. The fact that it writes it in the singular makes you lean towards Tosafot and the Oroch Girsa, which is Zuzah. Someone who discharges a white discharge, korai, rip it open, imyej ba'etzim, has a bone inside, imot me'alida. Again, so this is clear, that verifies or corroborates Rav Chisda's qualification of Rabbi Binyamin. And again, that section of these braitot are not talking about nida or tumunat nida anymore, we're talking about tumat leida. I assume, I don't know enough, I have a doctor here. Young fetuses, that skin pigmentation takes place later. I don't think, in the early stages, the skin pigmentation does not matter. Now we have a flashback, which is Amar. A woman who discharges an object, Korah, then you rip it open, if you're pooling of blood inside of it, then she is Tmeah. Now Kusumchus, he's like Sumchus who says that the meme on the inside make a difference. But Vikila Misumchus, he's more Mekel Misumchus. Why is he more Mekel Misumchus? Sumchus just required, exactly. Sumchus just required Damim. He requires a gur. He requires a pool of blood. So it's more significant. He requires a significant amount of Damim inside of it. There's a Sumchus who says any type of, any Damim that's in there is enough. So now we have, Bayimine, Rabbi Yirmiyah, mi Rabbi Zera. Haroya Dam Bishvoferet Mahu. Woman who sees Damim, through, we'll call it a catheter. The discharge of damim came out, and here it's, I mean, it's not clear exactly where the Gemara needs the catheter, but it seems it has to be around where the cervix is when it leaves the rechem, when it leaves the uterus. Does it have to leave the uterus by passing through what Rashi calls kotlei beta rechem? Through, has it passed through by touching the walls of the beta rechem in order to be considered dam hamikor? Or is it enough that it was discharged from that location? So that's what the Gemara says here. If you see damim through a catheter that was inserted into the uterus, is that considered to be dam nida, dam tmeya? Bivsara, amar Rachmano. She has to see it, bivsara, velo bishvoferet. Is that what it means? It means bivsara, it has to exit touching the skin, I mean, kotlei beta rechem, or not through a foreign object. Odilma, hai bivsara mi baile. I need this mitzvah for another limud, which is shemetavah mi bifnim ki bachutz, that she's tmeya already inside, internally, not when it becomes external. That is a difference between, for instance, shechvat zera or azav. Shechvat zera and zav, the person's only tmeya when it exits the orifice of the body. The dan nida makes the woman into a nida even before it exits the orifice of the body. It's once it's exited the rechem, once it's exited the makor, she's already tmeya. That means when it's left the cheder and moved into the Pruz door, if it's left the uterus and now is in the vaginal canal, she is Tmeya Tumat Nida because it's exited the Rechem. So the exit that here is that is important is not exiting of the body, but exiting of the uterus. So maybe Bibsara means even internally, when the Dam is still internal, she is Tmeya. So Amarle, Bibsara Marchmana Velo Bishvoferet. Says the limud is bivsara velo bishoferet. If you put a catheter and the blood exits the rechem through the catheter, that is not considered to be dam tmeya dam nida. Di bivsara mi baile shetmeya mi bifnim mi bachutz. If you needed bivsara to teach you the other limud, which is that she's tmeya internally even before it exits the orifice of the woman, imke neimar kra bisara. The Torah should have just said bisara. My. The Ein Mishpat changes the girsa to bisara. If you look on your right side of your Gemara there, the Ein Mishpat changes the girsa to bisara. So you can go with either one, whatever one you want. Imkain, name a kra, what we have written in our Gemara is bivsar. Ein Mishpat changes it to bisara. My bivsara. Shmamina tarte, that we have two limudim here. I mean, there's extra verbiage over here, and that extra preposition tells us two limudim. Number one is that she's already tmeya when it's internal. After it's exited the rechem, she is tmeya, even if it hasn't exited her body. And number two is that when it exits the rechem, it has to be in contact with the kotlei beta rechem. If it exits through a catheter or through a shofaret, she is not tmeya tumat nida. Vaha. Now we're going back to the bright that we brought before. This is why it's relevant over here. Vaha amar Rabbi Yochanan mishum Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. That was brought in the Braita before. Amapelet chaticha. A woman who discharges an object. Korah. She rips it open. Im yesh badam agur. If there is blood that is pooled inside, tmeya. Bimlav Torah. And if not, she is Torah. So now what do you see here? You see from Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Rabbi Yochanan Omar Rabbi Shimon Yochai, that here you have an object that's exiting, that's not classified as dam. That object is now chotzeitz, creates a chatzitza between the kolei bet rechem and the blood that is pooled inside. It's clear that Rabbi Yochanan thinks the problem is the blood inside. But now you have something wrapping the blood around, and it's exiting. Why is that different than shvoferet? You have blood that is encapsulated, and it's exiting the womb. If that's the case, why does Rabbi Yochanan say, or Amar Rabbi Shimon Chai say over there, it's Tmeah, and we're saying by Shvoferet that she is Tehora? So when it says, Achyashta, I can compare the cases. Hatam Darka Shalishali wrote Dam. It's normal for a woman to see discharges of Dam Bechaticha inside of objects. Hochain Darka Shalishali wrote Dam Bishvoferet. It's the difference between being a foreign object and an object that's produced by the woman herself. Meaning that the shvoferet, which is a foreign object, and you insert it in or catheterize the uterus, over there you have a foreign object that's chotzeitz between the blood exiting the uterus and the wall of the uterus. Over here, where you have a chaticha that goes out, that's a natural occurrence in the woman. That's something that happens on a regular basis, and therefore it's not classified as a chatzitza. It's min b'mino, Rashi says. It's min b'mino. So either it's like dam or it's like basar. You have to pick one of the two, but it's min b'mino, and therefore it's not chutzit. So Mar says, Lema shvoferet tanayi. Let us see if this inyan of shvoferet is really a machloket tanayim. Titania, amapelet chaticha, woman who discharges an object, avo pishim leya dam, even though it's got blood inside of it, im yeshima dam tmeya, vim lav teora. If it has blood with it, tmeya. If it's not, Torah. So here you see an opinion. Shaul, this goes back to what you asked before. An opinion here who says that even if there's blood internally, if there's no blood externally, then no din of nida over here. Who's the author of that position? Obviously, the Rabbanon. So that's how you know that the Rabbanon are different than Simchus Abab. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Bibsara, Velo B'Shfir, Velo B'Chaticha. He says, no, it's got to touch the walls of the Rechem, and it cannot be inside of a Chaticha, and it cannot be inside of a Shafir. A Shafir over here is like a Shvoferet. It's like a tubing, but over here it's a natural tubing. Shafir is the sack in which the fetus is contained. So now the Gemara asks the obvious question, Rabbi Lezer, Hainu Tanakama. Rabbi Lezer is giving the explanation for the Tanakama. The Tanakama says, well, if it's inside of an object, it's not considered to be Dam Nida. And then Rabbi Lezer comes and gives you a proof to that. He brings a pasuk. So Rabbi Lezer does not argue on the Tanakama. So it says, Ema Shi Rabbi Lezer Omer. You're right. Rabbi Lezer is qualifying or defining what the reason for the Tanakama is. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Bibsara v'lo b'shfir v'lo b'chaticha. So then who's arguing? V'chachamim Omrim, Ein ze Dam Nida, Ela Dam Chaticha. This is not classified as dam nida, but rather a dam chaticha. So Tanakama, name tahori mitaher. Wait a minute, the Tanakama also says that it's tahor. What's the argument over here? The Chachamim are saying tahor, the Chachamim are saying tahor. So Ella, de pile pluye ike benayhu. If it is dried out, chapped, it has grooves in it. That's the difference between them. Tanakama savar bibsara, velo bishfir, velo bichaticha. That if it has to come out, touching the kolei bet rechem, not encapsulated in something else. Vehu adin l'shvoferet. That is true also of a foreign object, a catheter that's in there. V'hani milei eched d'shia. That's as long as the chaticha that coming out is smooth. Aval pliye pluye. If it has some sort of chapping grooves in it, tmeya. Matame. Why is that true? Because bibsara krinen bay. Then we call it bibsara. Because of the dryness, the chapping, the grooves here, that allows there to be moisture or some passing between the internal part of this chaticha and the external part of the chaticha. So we assume, therefore, that the damim did touch the kolei bet rechem, or it is if they touched the kolei bet rechem. V'atu rabbanon the meimar, and then the rabbanon come and say, af al gav de pilei pluye. Even though it's chapped, dry, has grooves in it, ein ze dam nida. The dam that we're talking about here is not dam nida whatsoever. This is dam chaticha. This is dam of a chaticha, and has nothing to do with uterine blood. Ha dam nida v'dai tefei v'afilu b'shuferet nami. Now this diuka of the Gemara is not so simple. The Gemara says, from the Rabbanan we would assume that had it been dam nida, their problem here is that it's not dam nida. But the implications are that had it been dam nida, then she would be tmeya, no matter how it came out. Now the truth is, you don't have to say that. You could have just said that the ha is, and Tosfos asked this question, bim tomer miyale ha, ema ha da dam nida tmeya, mishum da pale pluye, vikarinin bay, bibsara. Maybe the chachamim just agreed to the Tanakama in that case. If it's dam nida, and it's chapped, and it has grooves in it, ein ochanami, that they would agree, but they just don't think it's dam nida. The Gemara goes one step further and says, Chachamim believe that if it was dan nida, it doesn't matter what it's encapsulated in, that would be tmeya nida. And that's because Tosfot says that the brayta that we brought before shows that Rabbi Eliezer's reasoning is bivsara, v'lo b'shfir, v'lo b'chaticha. The fact that Rabbi Eliezer explicitly gives the reason for the Tana Kama means the Chachamim must be arguing on the underlying reasoning of Rabbi Eliezer. Because that's the premise of the Tana Kama's position. When the Chachamim come to argue, they must be arguing on that premise. Well, if you do that, now you have a machloket in shpoveret. When you have a catheter that's inserted through the uterus and the blood exits there, according to Rabbi Eliezer, according to the Tana Kama, that would be not tamei tumat nida, because it doesn't come into contact with bivsara. Chachamim, on the other hand, will say she is tamei nida because they don't have this limud of bivsara. Exactly. So that's the Gemara's proposition that this is a machloket, shfoferet is a machloket tanaim. Alright, Amar Abaye. Bish shfoferet kuli amalo pligei de Torah. Everybody agrees. Now Abaye disagrees with this and says, no, this is how you explain the braita. Everybody agrees that if it came out through a catheter, she's Torah, there's no damnida. Ki pligei bechaticha. They argue about a chaticha. Mar savar darkar shalisah derot dam bechaticha. It's normal, or normal condition of a woman to see blood encapsulated in a chaticha. Mar savar ein darkar shalisah derot dam bechaticha. It's not normal for a woman to see a discharge of blood inside of a chaticha. Now here you have a machloket Rashi and Tosafot what this chaticha is. Rashi claims that the chaticha we're speaking about here is palei pluye. It's chapped, grooved, cracked. And the machloket here is, even when it comes out, is it normal to see damim inside of a chaticha or not? Based on the fact that it's broken and chapped, and there's no question that it touched the kilte bet rechem, just a question of what the normal condition of a woman is. On the other hand, Tosafot says that he doesn't think that's right. Because that means that the case is not comparable to the case of Shfoferet. Now the case of Chaticha and Shfoferet are not the same case. But rather, he says, Yesh lomar, the pligi b'chaticha suya kemin Shfoferet. V'chatzitza ben dam lebasar. They're arguing here about a case where it's a smooth discharge. And there is some sort of chatzitza between the dam that's inside of the Chaticha and the kodei bet rechem. But if by pluye, if it was chapped and broken, gam rabbanan, even the rabbanan would be mitameh. Came the dam nido to uve no gebe psara. According to Abaye, everybody's agreeing that this is dam nida. It's just a question of what's normal over here, whether you have dam nida inside or not. So therefore, the Tana Kama, Rabbi Lezer, who says that it's normal for a woman to discharge blood inside of a chaticha, then it's not a chatzitza, because that's normal. It's part of her normal discharge, and it's not a chatzitza. The Rabbanan say that's not normal, then it is a chatzitza. But, according to Tosfot, if it's pluye, if it is cracked or chapped, where there's the ability for the dam to start as a kol de'berachem, even the Rabbanan would agree, because it's now the chaticha becomes irrelevant. There's no chatzitza anymore. Whereas Rashi says the whole argument is about this idea, whether it's normal or not, within Pele Pluye, when it's chapped or broken or grooved, do the Rabbanan think that that's considered or classified as Bipsara or not? Rav Amar, Rav says the Kuliyama ain't our kashal each other, Odam b'chaticha. That's not normal for a woman to discharge blood inside of a chaticha. And of course, also, that they're not arguing about Shfoferet. But what is their machloket about? V'hocha bishat Torah, and mekor mekomot tamekam iflegei. They're arguing about a discharge of blood from the uterus that is not uterine blood. The Rav Lezer Savar Isha Torah Vidam Tamei, that the woman remains Torah. She's not a Nida, but the dam that exits from there is Tamei. Da'ati Derech Mekor, because it came out of the Rechem, it came out of the uterus. It comes out of the uterus, it's Tamei, irrespective of whether she's a Nida or not. Rabbanan Savre Isha Torah Mekor Makomo Tohor. And the Rabbanan say no, that a woman is Torah, she's not a Nida, and the blood that exited from the uterus, if it's not uterine blood, that blood is also tahor. Because only dam nida, that's gzeret hakatuv. Gzeret hakatuv is that only dam nida is tameya. And that means that when the woman is a nida, the blood that exited is tamei. If the woman is not a nida, then the blood is not tamei. Whereas Rabbi Lazar separates between two and says that the mikor itself is what's mitamei the blood. The woman's status as a nida will be determined whether it's uterine blood or other types of blood, and therefore you'll end up with the difference where a woman could be tahora from nida, but yet the blood will be tameh.
What does that mean?
So Rashi over here says that if this blood will not be mitameh the woman, but it'll be mitameh anything that comes in contact with tumat naga tameh, which is tumat erev. So the woman will be tameh tumat erev, or any tarot that this blood touches will be tameh tumat erev. So it has a status of being an avatuma, an avatuma that comes into contact with these individuals, tamei tumat maga, and that maga creates tumat erev. Nida has the status of tumat shiva, and therefore her damim and her discharges will be tamei tumat shiva. So the difference here, or the nafkamina between dam that is uterine blood and dam that exits from the core that's tamei, is whether you have tumat erev or whether you have tumat shiva.
Put that into our mabogas to realize that's the case when.
Rabbi Lezer says, if she has a discharge from the uterus that's not uterine blood,
meaning in a chaticha?
I guess in a chaticha, it seems to be here that the blood's coming out of a chaticha.
In a chaticha is not from the, okay.
Because the dam nida, or the uterine blood, does not usually come through a chaticha. So the dam inside is not dam nida, or uterine blood. So that dam that is encapsulated inside of this chaticha is dam that came from the makor, but it's not metameh or tumat nida. So that dam will have a status of dam tamei, abatuma, but not enough to make her a nida, and not enough to make mitamei tumat shiva.
So we totally changed our initial understanding of the
right. Correct, correct. That's what's happening here. Abai, you see, they're saying, kuli alma. Rav Amar, kuli alma intar kashal isha, wrote dam bechaticha. Isha, that he agrees with Abai's first principle, that everybody agrees by shpoferet, it's no good. That's not dam nida. And everybody agrees that women don't usually discharge dam inside of a chaticha. The only question here is, what is the din of Makor? And Bib Sarah might teach you that anything that comes from the Makor, Tamei. That's what you're learning over here. But the Chachamim disagree with that and say the Makor is Tahor. Only Dam Nida. Dam Nida is the problem, not the Makor.
Look, I'm just saying, nobody's apprehended in the premise that any Dam in the Makor doesn't have the Tamei. But now we're not saying that. Now we're saying that Dam that even though it comes from the Makor, it comes from the Makor in an unnatural way.
Okay, so that everybody would agree that the blood of a fetus that exits, meaning even a child that's born and has blood inside, everybody would agree that that's not dam nida. So what they're saying over here is, so that would be that the dam achatika is equivalent to the dam of a fetus, which is that it's not her blood. Right, exactly. It's external blood. And the question is, does the makor have any influence on that blood? That it came bivsara. That's enough to make it tamei. Exactly. Exactly. It's tamei tumat mikor, not tamei tumat nida, because it issued through the mikor, and therefore that damim has that status. Okay, we'll stop over here.